This is Alan Wares of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I'm joined by the Albion Women's manager, Hope Powell, and central midfielder, Danny Bewitt. Hope, thanks very much indeed for coming on the Albion Roar.
Pleasure.
I'm sure you've been asked this several times, but I'm going to ask you again anyway. Bearing in mind your standing and experience, meant you could have gone for almost any job. What made you want to come in, one, into club management, and specifically to Brighton?
Club management, new experience for me. So that was a bit of a challenge. Brighton in particular, because I actually know the chief exec from my time at the FA, Paul Barber. He gave me a call. I had a meeting with him, and it actually just felt right. The environment felt right. Their ambitions felt right. Now I've been at the club for a few months. I think it was all that he said it would be, so I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
So you got the sort of like the stadium tour, the kind of the little Paul Samra's red book, and had a look at the facilities and said, yeah, this looks good.
No tour. I had a meeting. I think it was just what was said, the ambitions of the club. I then met with the chair of the women's game, met with Tony Bloom, and it just felt like a perfect.
So it wasn't really a hard sell for you?
Not really. As I said, their ambitions matched mine. The opportunity to go back into management was appealing. I had a bit of time out. And as I said, the club felt good. I had quite a few international offers. I didn't want to do that at the time. So this just felt like the right place to be.
Okay, so you've been here since September, and you're nearing your first season in club management. Mm. How has it differed for you, both professionally and personally, from what's gone before?
Professionally, day-to-day, it's very different to international. I feel like I'm in a constant tournament, which is really interesting, when the games come thick and fast and you're preparing for the next one, and that's really enjoyable. For me personally, it is a new experience. It's an experience I'm enjoying. It gives me an opportunity to work with players on a daily basis and see them develop. And, you know, you're constantly striving and looking forward to the next game to try and do better and better and better. So that helps me develop myself, and also hopefully I'm helping develop the players.
Have you got sort of inbuilt help from within the club? Have you got the, you know, from people within the hierarchy of the women's side of the club and from the men's side of the club? Are you kind of, as the club's motto says, are you all in this together?
I would say so. I think you just have to look around at the training ground. Everybody's on the same site. Everybody basically, you know, has access to the same facilities in terms of pool and gym, the pitches. So I would argue that everybody is in it together, just our scheduling has to be different. But I think we understand that the priority is the men's game. It's important that they do well in the league. That services the women's game. You know, we're under no illusions there. But I think the club has embraced the women's game wholeheartedly. There's a lot of investment that's gone into it and more to come. So they're really ambitious, and really it's about the club as a whole, not really the men's game, the women's game. It is about the club as a whole, and that's a really nice position to be in.
Mm. So how do you think it's gone for you personally and for the women's team here at the Albion?
For me personally, it's been a really, really nice experience so far. I think the players have been great. They're great to work with most of the time. I'm only saying that because Dad's here.
I've seen Danny play, yeah.
So I think for me personally, it was the right decision. It was a good time to come back into the women's game, having spent some time in the men's game and spent time abroad. And this club is a perfect fit for me, I think.
Okay. Danny, welcome to the Roar. For those that haven't seen you play, and that's far too many in my opinion, but that's another matter entirely, tell us about your game and whereabouts you fit in the whole scheme of things.
In terms of my game, is more...
apart from the fact we know you're number four.
Yeah, so play central midfield. I sort of help the girls a little bit with understanding of the game and talking them through it during games. I guess I like to break up play, get my foot about a little bit. I can pass the ball a little bit as well, but generally generally I just try and do as much as I can for the girls and for the team in every game. whether it be put a tackle in, you know, do third man runs, just even just communicating sometimes is just as important. So
tell us about your history, your playing career before you got to the Albion.
So I guess I started when I was at Arsenal. So I was there for about 8 years. And then I hit 18 and I kind of wanted more first team football. So I decided to move to Chelsea, which wasn't too hard a decision as I was a Chelsea fan. And it was like,
are you from that neck of the woods?
No, I'm from Kent, but my brother and my dad support them. So that kind of persuaded me on that move. I loved my time at Arsenal. It was just the right time for me to move on just for my development. So then I was at Chelsea for about 7 years. And then again, I just needed to move on, have a little change. So I went to Notts County. So that was slightly shorter stint, only 2 years and a couple of months. And then obviously we got liquidated just before the spring series, which was a little bit of a shock for us and I think for the overall women's game in this country. So then had a bit of a break. I decided not to go for a team in the spring series. I just wanted to settle and find somewhere that was going to be a little bit more permanent. And then it was through contacts that Brighton came in and was wanting to talk to me. And for me, it was an easy decision. Once I came down here, I came down for a tour. And it was as soon as I came down, I knew I wanted to be here. And it wasn't
okay. We'll talk about how you're enticed down to Brighton. But aren't you missing out one sort of quite big aspect of your career so far? I think aren't you being slightly modest here that you've actually got 8 England caps?
Yeah, no, I do. And okay, I did probably avoid that one as well a little bit. Okay. I have played for England
for
as
those
well.
That aren't listening, those that don't have super reverb vision, Danny has actually blushed quite a lot there.
Yeah.
Tell us about your England caps then. Surely a source of pride, I'd imagine.
Well, I guess that's down to Hope, really. So Hope gave me my opportunity. She gave me my break. So that was obviously very nice. I loved every second of it. It was probably shorter than I would have liked, but that was just the way it went, really. But yeah, so that was an experience. I was fortunate enough to play with some of, you know, the best players.
Whenabouts were you playing for England?
It was probably a year or 2 years before we got to the European Championships 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a few years with England, which was quite nice.
But you had a blast, didn't you? How did you did Brighton come in for you or did you ask them? Or
no, it was a case of someone was in contact with someone that worked here, and I've known Sophie Perry for years as well, playing with her when I was at Chelsea. So she was aware that I didn't have a club and I wasn't really putting myself out there. I'm not someone that would do that. And she was like, why don't you come down? Like, the club's ambitious and it wants to go places. And I was like, yeah, well, can't harm, can it?
Fair enough.
Being that my family's from down south, it was a lot easier for me to move. So that was good.
Fair enough. So Hope, when you were the England manager, I mean, what were Danny's attributes when she was playing? And how do you see her now from what that's that sort of, you know, 8, 9 years ago?
Oh, that's a long time ago. It's interesting. I think at that time, the crop that Dan came through with, there were quite a few players of that generation. It was tough. It was a real core group of good players, some of them that still play today, some of them still in the England team now. So that was a really tall order for Dan at the time. I would argue with her maturity and probably her knowledge of the game and having played more, she's probably a better player now, if I can be so bold to say that.
I
think that they used to call
her... In what way?
I think more of a leader. I think the players she was playing with at the time, and I could be wrong, probably slightly in awe of. Would that be fair to say, Dan?
Yeah, fully agree.
And I think then that... I don't ever think we saw the best of Dan then, because there were so many good players and I think Dan was slightly in awe of them and never quite kicked on. Whereas now, being a lot maturer, having all of those previous experiences with all of those clubs, I would say Dan probably today is a better player because of that. And he's actually quite a leader on the pitch. And back then she was called Scholesy, weren't you?
Yeah.
Very similar.
Some of the players still call me that.
Very similar in style, you know, the way she gets around the pitch.
And,
you know, her ability to break up play and pass is probably, I would argue, better now than it was then.
Sure. So, okay, we know what Danny's about then in that case. So either of you, or between you, talk us through the Brighton squad at the moment. Tell us about the attributes that if anyone should actually want to come along to watch the Albion Women play, what can they expect? Who can they see and what can each player bring?
I suppose it's no individuals as such, but like as a team, one thing I noticed when I came down to watch them was that they want to play. And I think as a team and as a squad, we want to play. We're not like a hit long and go for the counter. So technically, like the girls are very gifted. I think understanding of the game has improved a lot since Hope's come in. I think that was one aspect that the girls was lacking when I first came.
I was about to say, what has Hope brought to you? Because I mean, so you predate Hope's appearance here. So what's she brought in?
No.
Go for maximum embarrassment on the Raw, so yeah. Don't worry.
No, I think like generally the girls now understand a lot more about games. During a game, they recognise triggers. They know when to attack. They know defensively their roles. And I think when at the beginning of the season we were conceding a lot of goals, mm-hmm. like, and they were sloppy, easy goals. Whereas I think one thing Hope's done, which has been very diligent in our defending role, and I think which is true. If you stop a team,
that's where you come in as well, anyway.
Yeah, but I suppose I'm only one player. Do you know what I mean? There's like 10 more players on the team, and I think if we all know our defensive job and we stop team scoring, ultimately we should win a game or we won't lose a game. And I think we've become harder to beat, minus maybe one or two games where we didn't turn up or we weren't great. We are a lot stronger defensively now. So, I mean, but the thing that we've also got is so much pace in attack, and it's not just comes from one player. Like, obviously, we have Innie up front who's very, very fast. But having said that, you've got Amanda on the left and you've got Aileen Whelan on the right. And it's quite frightening, I think, for a lot of teams that we now come against. But that would be my...
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly one of my philosophies is be hard to beat. You know, and I've said that, and I agree with Dan. Certainly when I first came in, we were a little bit...
A bit soft?
A little bit lacking in understanding. But I think that the good thing about the girls is that their thirst for knowledge and their willingness to learn.
Do you encourage individuality as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think, you know, we've got to get the defending right first. And then, you know, I was an attacking midfielder, so my game was all about going forward and scoring. And the reason I probably go be hard to beat, because I always found it easy to score.
Mm.
So, you know, I think if you are a team that's hard to beat, you frustrate the opposition. I think what we're very good at is going forward with freedom and flair. And I'm very much, about individual brilliance. Go and attack, but get the defending right. Get that right. Just attack at will. And I think they've really tried to implement that. And I think the recent results and the succession of games that we've won really highlights the fact that I think, you know, we're in a better place now than perhaps we were when I first came in. Mm-hmm. And that's not credit to me. I just try and facilitate it. It's credit to the girls.
Is that credit to Hope?
I would say so. Hope and Amy have really focused on it a lot with us week in, week out. And I think it's quite hard because obviously we would like more time with the coaches, but they try and just implement it every single session. So it actually does embed a lot more. And like, I suppose, not in a harsh way, but as players, we're probably not the quickest bunch, you know, and it probably... It frustrates the coaches a little bit, because you'd be doing a practice and you'd be like, okay, do it again. But now it's become more natural.
Mm.
And I suppose in a way it's a shame that Hope came in September rather than coming in June or July, because then you would have had maybe two months.
Didn't really have a pre-season.
Yeah, but I think the good thing that we had the winter break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had countless international breaks. So it's almost like we're getting a few different pre-seasons within a season, which is quite lucky, which has helped us. And I think it's definitely improved our performance levels. That and fitness.
So you mentioned Amy. What does Amy bring to the mix? Amy, I'm talking about Amy Merrick's, the assistant manager.
Well, I think Amy, you know, she's a very good coach. I mean, she's only 24 and already got her A license. So, her wealth of knowledge at this level, she's more knowledgeable than I am. So she knows the players. Certainly, she worked with the players in the spring season. Her desire to learn, her desire for everything to be better, but more importantly, she's a good coach. So, certainly, if I'm not here, I have no hesitation in leaving Amy in charge. Hmm. And, you know, it's not about being in charge, it's about delivery. It's about delivering what's appropriate at any given time, and she's more than capable of doing that. I think what makes it easy is the response from the players. Hmm. You know, it's their willingness to learn. I think they trust, certainly, certainly I've come in and I've gone, right, we want to do this. I think they trust it, and that is so important. And I think if they trust what you're trying to implement, they're more inclined to take it on board. And I think they have. And I think we've certainly shifted from where we were to where we are now.
Given that the Albion's women team is at the highest level that it's ever been, it's the first season in the kind of the second division of women's football. I mean, it's certainly, as the table would say, it's having a fantastic season. Looking at the table, there's about a third of the season to go, and it's well within the club's remit to get a top three finish, which in the first season of being in this high up is an amazing achievement. But looking at the table and the games you've got to go, do you believe you can win this league?
I think, and this is the truth, I think the players are very, very optimistic, and their desires are about winning the league, which is great. I think it drives them on. I think for me at this juncture, it's important to focus on performances of players. We're going into a very, very big challenge next season, WSL1, and the gulf between WSL1 and 2 is quite demanding. So for me at this moment, it's about performance. You know, we could play really well and lose to the bottom clubs in the team, but if the performance is good, I'm content with that. So I'm looking for players to make the step up next season.
I was about to say, I've actually got it as my next question. Given that we don't have to win the division to make that step up, does that make motivation any easier or any harder?
No, they're motivated. What, for me, the players?
Well, for the management and for the players, I guess.
No, I think we're motivated because I think the players know that they all want to be part of something going into WSL1. That motivation far outweighs winning the league. So everybody wants to be part of WSL1. You know, the league, if we came bottom in the league, I think the motivation would still be there. Mm. But we're in a position where we are competing for WSL2, competing for places as players and individuals to get in the squad for WSL1. There's no bigger motivation.
Sure. I mean, that's Hope's take on it. I mean, do the players, I mean, obviously they want to be part of the WSL1. So, I mean, are they aware it's got to be about performance, or do you surely, if you have a really good performance on the pitch but still end up losing, you're still going to think, what have I done wrong? What, you know, where could I improve? So, where's the priority for you?
I suppose, I mean, as players, you want to win, and as a team, I suppose we do want to win the league. More so that we can prove to people that we didn't just earn it because of financial reasons or whatever people keep saying about it. And that also it shows that, you know, we are winners. We want to go into WSL1 and we don't want to go every week and lose, if that makes sense. We want to win every single game. In terms of performance levels, I mean, this season alone, we've played two of the best teams in the league, Chelsea and Man City. And all right, we did lose the game, but performance levels, we came away from the game, rather than being disappointed that we lost, we were happy because our performance level was what we tried to aim to do. It's just unfortunate that we just didn't have the end product. You know, it could have been like, we could have got a goal here or there. So, our motivation is obviously performance, because if you're performing well, potentially you can get a contract for next season and then you're in WSL1. I mean, I'm fortunate enough that I've played in that league, and as have like one or two other players. But a lot of the girls haven't had that opportunity, and the thought that they could potentially be playing against some of the best players in Europe, let alone just in this country, that's motivation as it is, I think. Nice. So, I suppose you know, we want to win the league and we want to send out a message, but at the same time, we want to just keep working on what we're doing. Because if you can keep performing as we have been in the last four or five games, we'll take that into next season anyway, which will be confidence for us,
sure.
Which is just as important, I think, because we are going to be playing against better teams. And we're not stupid to think that we can have the same, it's going to be the same level. So, it's definitely motivating for us.
Okay. Now, over the weekend, Brighton had a very good 2-0 win over Spurs, Tottenham Ladies. The result raised some eyebrows for those not totally au fait with the women's setup because of the lack of realisation, possibly, that Spurs Ladies don't have the same standing in the women's game as their male counterpart. So to that end, how do you feel about the prospect of a Manchester United women's team joining WSL2, especially given that it bypasses those clubs who have invested in women's football?
I think the fact that Man United, I mean, that the FA have been trying for years for them to re-establish their women's team. I think they had one about 15 years ago. They've been trying for years to get it re-established. I think the good thing is that they are re-establishing it. I think that can only be good for those girls that have been loyal to that club for years and now have a clear pathway to progress to. I think that's really important. It's another big name, if you like, that's willing to invest in the women's game. And hopefully that might attract other clubs to invest even more money as Tottenham. So all in all, is it positive? Yes, I think it is positive.
Does women's football need Manchester United, bearing in mind that, like I say, at senior level, it hasn't had it for the past 15 years and is actually growing?
Why not? Wouldn't be a bad thing, would it? It's not going to do any harm. It can only do more good than harm, surely, if it gives other women, other girls, the opportunity to become professional, you know, in that area. That can only be a good thing, surely.
Okay. Now, in your opinion, is women's football in this country ready to make the leap that it's going to make next year? Now, attendances are climbing and the national team can attract 20,000 every single time and more. But is the FA putting the cart before the horse? Should the public desire be there first, bearing in mind the majority of games don't attract 20,000?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because I think the women's game in this country is still developing. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can ignore that. I think it's still got a long way to go. But sometimes when you force the hand, it shifts things. So has WSL 1, the new licence criteria, shifted the thought process of some owners to invest in the women's game? Well, clearly Man United are doing that. Brighton are heavily investing. There's a possibility that West Ham are going to heavily invest. And so it could actually snowball. But I think what we still have to recognise is that while the top end is flying, there's still work to do at the grassroots end of the game. Because without that, the top end doesn't evolve. So I think they just need to be mindful that, you know, the top end isn't running away and nothing's
being done. Is there a risk of a bubble, do you think?
I hope not. You know, I know a lot of people that still work at the FA that are really do a lot of hard work and probably are the unsung heroes working at the grassroots and to make sure that participation keeps rising so that there is a you know, though that pool of talent that comes through to fulfill, you know, the next generation, if you like. I think that's really important.
Okay. Danny, back to you. Back to the Albion team. Who is the worst and the best dresser out of the team?
Oh, my God. Wow.
They wear the same clothes.
They really, yeah.
Really?
To be fair, everyone, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I live with four of the girls, so I can tell you out of the four girls in my house, if that helps.
Okay.
So, no pressure. Oh, God. I would say any our striker is a little bit out there. I would probably say...
Right.
It's not my taste.
Okay.
So I'd probably put her
I'm not in a position to
taste.
Comment on taste, but, you know.
And best dressed... I probably have to say Laura Rafferty because she spends enough on her clothes that she should probably be best dressed.
Okay, fine. So, and who's the noisiest and who's the quietest?
Oh, Fliss Gibbons is the loudest player on the team. And this is after working like all day and she's absolutely knackered and she'll come in and you just think, where do you get your energy from, love? Like, honestly, so...
Is she one of those that you live with?
No, she isn't. No, no, no. Oh, she, no. No. I wouldn't be living there, probably. No, she lives back home in Kent, so...
Right.
But I suppose the quietest. I suppose there is no real.
I'm going to.
One.
I'm going to.
Beth Rowe is quite. No, but you know what? She's.
I'm going
she's
to guess Amanda Hilden. Yeah. She seems to be quite quiet on the pitch.
No, she's not. She's quite funny, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah, although, like, obviously she's Swedish.
Yes.
Like, her English is really funny, and we train on a Wednesday. And so she's.
And what do you mean it's funny?
In terms of, like, she obviously picks up little bits.
Oh, right.
Like, she'll say something, and you'll be like, that's not quite what you're meant to say on that one there.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, so, no, Beth Rowe is probably the quieter one in the team, I would say.
Right,
yeah.
Fair enough. And, okay, and how is Hope referred to? Is she the boss? Is she the gaffer?
Please, no, Hope.
Just Hope.
It's just Hope.
It's just Hope.
Okay, so what does it mean for you? I know you've been here for a year. As I understand it, you've got a 2-year contract, as I understand it. What does it mean for you to be a Brighton and Hove Albion player?
To be fair, it means a lot. Like, coming to the club, Brighton I've always been to and stuff like that. So I already had memories of being in Brighton because of the fact I live nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And since joining, it feels more of a family than ever. And that's probably one of the one things that I've enjoyed most. Being that I've been at, you know, Arsenal, Chelsea and Notts County, you feel more part of the club here than I did at any other club. Because they're bigger and they didn't really... I wouldn't say they respected the women's team, but here it's actually like you are part of them. You're not frowned upon, you're not looked down on. You know, everything's the same.
You've got a feeling of belonging here, have you?
Yeah, like it's more like a family feeling than anything else. Everyone's so friendly, and I think that just is Brighton as a whole. It's been probably the best decision I did coming here. You know, even though I was a Chelsea fan and I went to Chelsea, and obviously that was a big deal for me. Here, this has felt better, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah.
And I suppose now at the part of my career as well, I want to now enjoy every minute that I can, really.
You've got a few years yet, haven't you?
Yeah, a few years, if my body can keep going. Oh. But no, I suppose in terms of my playing career, I am coming towards the end of it compared to, like, obviously, we've got a very young squad here.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to enjoy every single second I can, and I am at the moment, so that's good.
Does that kind of imply that you think that women's football is a younger person's game than, say, the men's equivalent?
No, I don't think
so. If Danny believes she's coming to the end of her career, where I think in other cases
I said the end, I mean, I've still got a few years left.
No, I know, but I mean, I think what the point I'm making is that probably when if it was the men's equivalent, we say you're probably about halfway through your time.
To appreciate as well that, you know, when you it's about your body, isn't it?
Mm.
So you could be 26 and feel like 50 in your body, and you feel like, you know, and the reality of it is that you know, Dan's had a few injuries. You know, I think she really has to take care of herself, and really does.
Mm.
But she isn't 22.
I see.
You know, she is 30, and that becomes when you've played as long as Dan has, it's going to start wearing and tearing on your body. So I think she's being completely honest.
Sure.
At the moment, I would argue she's been one of our best players. You know, if that could continue for the next 5 years, then great, then she continues. Mm. But, you know,
hopefully
Dan will
here.
Be the best judge of that.
So a similar question for you. And like I say, you've been here since September, but what does it mean to you personally to be the Brighton and Hove Albion manager?
I feel honoured, to be honest. I look around and I see the investment that's gone in, and the investment that the club are willing to make going forward, that I am very much aware of. So I feel really honoured and privileged to be here. I'm really fortunate that I work with a group of players that really want to learn and really want to do well. So for me to be in this position, I feel thankful that I was given the opportunity, and grateful for it. And hopefully I can offer, you know, all my skills and knowledge and experience I have, and plough that into the players, into this club, and hopefully as a result we'll do well, not just today, tomorrow, next year. You know, it's something that can be built on, you know, 20 years from now when me and Dan will be going, yeah, I was part of that, and you know. So yeah, it's nice. We're trying to build something great here, and the players are trying to build something great here, you know, and we want to fulfill all the ambitions and the dreams of being in WSL 1. But not just being there, but actually
doing well and competing. And we know it's going to take some time. But if we get the response, certainly going forward, that I've had in these couple of months, I'll be pleased. So it's a real privilege, actually.
Oak Pal, Danny Bewitt, thank you very much indeed for being on the Albion Raw.
And here she comes again, I'm sitting on my hands, and she sings to me a song. Here she comes.